Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
John.
Yeah.
When I remember, you think about this. Family is an oddity. I mean, everybody says family. You know, you're my best friend.
Right.
I liked you on my Facebook. But family, I mean, what is family? Mm-hmm. What is this thing called family? And it's just being just ripped apart, at least our perception of family.
Sure.
Maybe God is telling us that, I don't know. I just remember when Jesus' mother and brother thought he lost his mind.
Mm.
And he was coming, they were coming to rescue him because her son, his brother, had not eaten in quite some time. And he was in a house ministering. I don't know what's up with
in
that.
In a house?
Maybe it had high ceilings or something.
I don't know.
A PA system.
Maybe
but
a stained glass window for sure.
He was in a house. But he's Jesus, you know. So they're knocking on the outside of the door. They're knocking on the door. And somebody answers the door. And, of course, Americans are thinking, it must have taken them a long time to walk, but the house is one of this is not Discovery Channel, and
no,
you're not watching those
no.
10 million
HD,
houses.
It's not an HD house.
Yes.
No.
And so they go to the door. And they say hello or whatever, and they go, hey, you know, we came to get Jesus. And so they close the door, I guess, and go through the people that are there, and Jesus is ministering. And they said, Jesus, you know, your mother and your brother, your family's here. And Jesus, he said, this is what Jesus said. He said, who is my family? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who do the will of my Father. What makes us family, church, is that we hear our Father and follow him. We make Jesus truly the director, the leader of our life. That's what makes us. You know, so many people think that somebody owes them something because they birthed them or they're somebody's child or, you know, I married you, therefore you owe me. Mm. You know, you're part of my organization, therefore you owe me. That's not family. That's the mob. You know, and family, family is you love to be with people. Listen, no, this is John Finn. John Finn and I got to meet some years back. We were in Vine, Texas, and talking about, you know, trying to rediscover because we were just coming out of organized, mm-hmm. you know, corporate world of religion and just seeking the Lord about, you know, what does that mean to be the church? What does it mean to have a relationship? And I like what he says right here. Listen to John Finn.
You know, I like to say that Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
Think about that.
Wow.
And it came to America to become an enterprise. Because think about this. Mm. I mean, really, come on. I mean, let's be honest for a moment. If you didn't have a mortgage on that building, would you still have the same expectations of those folks? If you got an employee you want to get rid of, you know, you want to treat them well and they'll be happy with it, it's called a severance package.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you just paid that man off, how much money do you want? If it frees us to be in the Father's business, if the only reason you're here is for money and, you know, for your name and lights, how much can we pay you to get out of this contract? So that we can be free to be family.
Yeah.
People want family so bad. You know, for years, you know, we've been, you know, reaching out to folks and taking fatherless, you know, boys into the wilderness and getting mentors for each of them and getting fathers to spend time with their kids and working with families. And what people really crave, they crave what Jesus was doing in the house. They crave family. And you think about what John Finn said, and this is what the Lord was telling. An angel of the Lord showed up, began to speak to him. It may have been even a vision of the Lord. I can't remember what it was. We'll have more about that. But he says, you know, God came to Jerusalem to bring relationship. And there he was. He was in a house. He was eating. They called him a drunkard. He was drinking. They called him a drunkard. He was eating. They called him a glutton. When he was ministering in the streets, they called him rebellious. And when they finally looked him square in his eyes, they called him Satan. I mean, that was what was going on.
Wow.
So God came to bring us relationship. He's showing. He's like, people are running and say, get away from him. Jesus says, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Unless you become like one of them, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. So he's going like, he's showing us family. You know, he says, I am, He's letting us know that I'm going to see my God and your God. I'm going to see my Father and your Father. It's very specifically how he says that. And he says that, and the Word of God lets us know that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever he is, we are through him in his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're family, the family of God. And if we look at and think, well, Mary, you know, and his brother were the ones who understood what God was saying at that time, it would be wrong. Because the truth is, whoever is following the Father is our family. I don't care what race they are, how much money they have, what nation they're from, you know, what gender they are, you know, we're family. And that's what's going to bring us together. So God came to bring us into relationship with him, into relationship with each other. This is how they'll know that you're my disciple, if you actually love each other as family. You know, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then it says, then the church was taken to Greece, where it made a philosophy. And that's today. I mean, you hear some people talk about, you know, it really doesn't mean that, but I just love the way the words rhyme. And if it just kind of rolls off your tongue,
yeah.
But does it roll out of our life in obedience?
Theories.
Then he says that it went to Rome to become a religion. Remember for years that the church was, you know, it met just as Jesus was meeting. And suddenly with Constantine and all that, they brought it into buildings.
Yeah.
And they begin to say, listen, we're going to protect you. We're going to give you a nonprofit status. That's not what they said, but understand you're going to be set up like a corporate world. In other words, you'll have boards and buildings and all this kind of stuff. But prior to that, the fullness of God was taking place outside of that, and it became a religion. Then it went to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture. That's where they merged the idea of nation and church, you know, where they put themselves,
Germany, right?
i.e. Germany, or, you know, Great Britain, and, you know, all the popes were over, you know, nations, mm-hmm. and the Protestant church, you know, King James and sort of Scotland and all that. And they merged religion with the nation. And if you decided to leave the church, you were committing treason, and they would behead you or put you down. And then it came to America to become an enterprise.
Wow.
I mean, it totally just kind of nails us, you know?
It does. I mean, you think about it. Today, you can go to any Christian bookstore. Never in history has there been more books, tapes, DVDs, a series that you could purchase for spiritual development and growth. And yet, as we look at the evidence, is there more depth in our walk with Christ? Is there greater love? Is there greater evangelism that's taking place? Are we making disciples? And if any believer on the face of the earth should be advancing the gospel because of the resources that are available to us, it would be Christians.
Right.
But I just don't see that happening.
So you think about this. You think about this, that you could be freed from all this enterprise. I mean, think about this. What if, this is what one man said. He says, you know, what if this? There was this man. And he hated going to work. I mean, he just hated going to work. He didn't like the business he was working for. He didn't like anything about what was going on. He just resented it. But the dilemma was, it was his company. He created it. And for him to stand up and say, this is not good. And so he just kept showing back up at something he created. What if God's going to free you from that? I mean, what if everything that's not of him is going to be tried by the fire, and it's going to be like hay, wood, and stubble is going to be burned up. And you knew that, and you could say, you know what, today I am going to ask God to begin to deal with the hay, wood, and stubble in my life, because I'll have so much energy, so much time, and I want to be able to invest it in things that will last and things that are eternal, like people. And it's so, what happens is when religion comes in and philosophy comes in and enterprise comes in, all these things come in, all of a sudden systems take over from people. All of a sudden, you're trying to maintain some facade or some statue or some, you know, mega thing, and the people are secondary to that.
Mm-hmm.
And God left all that and met in this house. And so he told us when his mother and his brother came, he says, let me explain to you. This is my family, those who do the will of my Father. But isn't that powerful what John Finn was talking about?
Yes, very powerful, because you come to a place where you realize, listen, it's Christianity, the gospel, is not a lot of times what we see happening in the West, in America. And it's not necessarily a knock, but I'm hungry for, my passion is to see Jesus be lifted up. We've seen so many other things. And added to, I was thinking about, if you haven't been to multiplymovement.com, I want to encourage you to do that. And go on a journey, on an Emmaus Road journey, if you will. But I was reading in Multiply on about Revelation 21 and Revelation 22 and just all about the New Jerusalem and how beautiful heaven's going to be. But the greatest thing that's described in both of these chapters to me is not so much the gold and the foundations and all the wonderful things that we're going to experience there. It's the fact that we're going to be able to be with Jesus. Right. We're going to dwell together. He wants to be with us. It's family. That's the prize.
But if you don't understand family, John, if the concept of family is painful to you, and a lot of people it is because they try to define it by the people who are knocking on the outside of your door instead of Jesus who was in your heart and in relationship with other believers, that other believers who understand family. Yeah. Versus,
my question is, why was his family there with him? Why were they pulling him out?
Well, they weren't in the family yet. And so, but if it's, when you understand family and we're all going deeper into that, that's why we want to be with God forever. That's why we want to be with Jesus. So we're called the bride of Christ and that he's the bridegroom and that the Father is going to present us to his Son as a bride without spot, without wrinkle because of what his Son did. And it's family. Can you imagine that not understanding, thinking there's some religious things going on and people talk more about, you know, God's my fishing buddy.
Co-pilot.
I'm looking for my mansion just over the hillside, you know, and they never mention, you know, God at all. And it's like, yeah, they never mention him. You know, and then you think about this, and this is where I think I'm personally challenged. I'm sure you don't have this challenge. I'm taller. Is that, you know, so many things happen in life, and what will move God and what moves us is compassion for everyone, just compassion. And I just want to challenge you to just join me on a journey of saying, you know, God, you know, give me your heart for mankind. Give me your heart. Because he says, love your enemies. Pray for those who use you and curse you and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, people may not do that, but there's people that are actually getting things given to them and they still resent, they resent nice people. I mean, you imagine what they feel about people who take something from them. And it's like, until we, why would we want people to be saved if we didn't care about them? You know, why do we even pray about injustices if we really are benefiting from that person's injustice? You know, if why do we, and it's like, dear Lord, help us to break out of this enterprise, as John Fenn said, in America, and just go love people and lay down our life. You know, I think about Sister Teresa, you know, when she said, she said when she saw people suffering in pain, and she saw him, and she was there at the last dying moments of many lives. She says, I could see Jesus in their face. And the thing is, can we see Jesus in other people? Because he said, you won't see him again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's when we see Jesus in people and realize that's the man that he died for. That's the woman that he died for. That's the one he wants us to go tell them that he loves them. And he will even judge us on the last days by saying, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. And missing, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, that they felt like they were called in ministry. And the issue was, they said, I'd be in ministry if it wasn't for people.
Wow.
I'm like, what else is there?
Yeah.
The word means servant, right?
Well, Mother Teresa also said that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time left to love them.
Wow.
God doesn't call us to judge. He's called us to love.
That frees you up, by the way. It really frees you up when you realize, you know, I'll just leave that to God.
That's not our role, not our job, no vacancy.
Which is another thing, you know, some things are coming up in our face, but stuff's been around for a long time that's been accepted. And the reality of the gospel that God's called us to do, he's called us to love folks. He didn't call us to judge folks. And it's the love of God that leads people to a place of repentance, you know, and he demonstrates that love, you know, by a prostitute who, you know, cries out to him for forgiveness, and he forgives her and allows her into the fullness of the family and says, I'll even talk about her forever. Remember, we're all prodigals saved by God, and maybe you're not saved yet. Maybe you can make a decision for God, but understand that we are that prostitute. That's who we are. But are we comfortable in going to those areas of our community? Are we comfortable with reaching out at the risk of catching what they may have? Even though God said that though you can drink deadly poisons and won't hurt you, how beautiful would it be to stand in the presence of God and know that your life ended because you reached out with compassion. Because it's not about the numbers of things that you do. It's your heart in what you're doing. It's your heart. Do you really care about that transient? Do you really care? I mean, is there a part of the community that you're not only don't go to it, you actually have a walled up mindset that you're not going to go there because you're scared to go there.
Mm.
And if you think about that, you can think, well, that means there's some sort of demonic oppression over that area, and I can come into that area and I can actually bring light.
Absolutely.
I can begin to pray and do a prayer walk, and religious people are going to think you lost your mind. Secular people who don't even know what's going on, they're going to probably warn you. But the people who are the prostitute or the person who is struggling with drug addiction or the person who's going through life, they're going to go, thank you so much.
Mm.
Thank you for caring. They're going to invite you in. They're going to go, my goodness, I was blind, but now I see. You know, I was sick, but now I'm healed. And those type of things that are going on. And so that is what we're called to do. And so God's not going to, if a third grade awakening is not going to come because a whole bunch of millionaires want a stimulation package from heaven.
Mm.
It's going to come, you know, when we do what Jesus said, do, you know, when we go to the downhearted. He says, when you invite somebody, invite people that can't do nothing for you. Invite the lame and the crippled, mm-hmm. and the people that, you know, they're going to eat and they're going to leave and they're going to do nothing for you. But this is how the kingdom of God is. And it's like, do you do anything for anyone who will never do anything for you because you love God? That's what will move God's heart. But every time we do something, if we expect something back, he says, you've received your reward already. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Lord, give us a compassion for people. Give us a compassion for the lost. Give us a compassion for the one who's struggling in addiction. Maybe there's somebody right now that you've been overtaken with addiction. Maybe it's something on the internet. Maybe it's something that's imagery. And you're thinking you can't be set free. I'm telling you right now, man, you could be set free. God can set you free, and he has a plan for your life. I want to pray for everyone that God would give you the compassion. I'm praying with myself, Lord, I want more compassion.
Yes.
for human beings, for the race that you created, one race, Father God. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And I pray even now, Lord God, that you would touch our hearts with the love that you have for mankind, Lord God, that we would lay down our lives, lay down everything, and it would be a high-quality thing that we would do, our best that we would give, Father God, that you would touch us with the compassion and the love you have for mankind, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, in that you would meet their needs. You would meet their needs. We ask you for bread right now, Father God, that we can give to them, our daily bread that we can give to them. The bread might need healing. They may need deliverance. They may need salvation. But Lord, I know that you said you'll give us our daily bread so that we can give it away. Father God, I ask you for that. I speak healing over this audience, hope over this audience, and third great awakening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.